Well, good morning, everyone, and happy Friday. I'm Jeff Beaupre, and you're listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. You can also listen or stream it live at krdo.com, and after the fact, a podcast at businessweekinreview.podbean.com. I got it through that time. Woo! Joining me in the studio today is Mike Weir of the El Paso County Medical Society. But the bigger one is Pro Practice. Welcome back, Mike.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be back.
Yeah, and we were giving him a hard time in the prep meeting. He's laughing. Some people run with the bulls in Spain, and Mike, over the past month, went running with the Sasquatch. I say that jokingly, but that is a profound effort that you did. He hiked the Colorado Trail. That is not for the meek. So congratulations, Mike. You said it was a life-changing experience.
Yeah, it was, Jeff. It was a great experience. My wife and I did, about 200 miles of the Colorado Trail, and highly recommend it for anybody who's ever done it. Just, you know, as just a person, you know, as well as a leader, it's just a life-changing experience and something that I highly
really
recommend.
Is. Yeah. And we joke about keeping your powder dry, the old cliche, but it's really true when you're out in the woods. You don't run down to the convenience store anymore.
No, just keep your stuff dry, have plenty of water.
So, Mike, we're going to have a great discussion today, and it's just going to carry through the hour about some changes with medical billing. So we're going to stir that up a bit. We're going to share a few things that I'm sure will get people worked up. But there's a big effort with what's called CMS, and this is the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services. Mike's well aware of that in the medical side. And they're trying to reduce costs overall because the government hit on that. So we're going to be talking about that and the pressure it's putting on private practice and especially hospitals. So there's a big fight looming between hospitals and a lot of the private practice and those services, outsourced services, about how this whole pricing is going to shake out. And it's interesting, there is a story out in the Wall Street Journal this week that gets into the middle of that about what are the costs of medical. And I guess I'll lead off with kind of a surprising thing to me. I guess over the last couple of years, I had a major medical policy, and I paid for my own prescription. Well, I went to the local pharmacy a couple of times and picked that up, and the pharmacist said, well, that was going to be $72. And I said, well, wait a minute, it wasn't that much last time. And they said, oh, well, who's got your insurance? I said, no, I pay for that myself. And they said, well, hang on. If you're paying for it yourself, let me check something. I'll be right back. They came back, and the cost to me without insurance was $12. I said, wait a minute. You're telling me if I have insurance, they have that much markup? And he didn't say anything. He was probably... Mike's looking at me like, yeah, let's not get into his contractual issues. But that's what some of the discussion is about. In the Wall Street Journal article, they spent about a year or more traipsing around following hospitals and physicians and things like that about knee replacements. The charge for one of the examples, the bill was $50,000 to do a single knee replacement. In their studies, they came back and they found out that the real landed cost was $10,000. And so they just adjust the costs based on what their profit goals need to be and a number of factors, I'm sure. And I can't wait. The phone's going to start ringing anytime from the hospitals howling at me, but I'm never shy on here. Everybody knows that by now. But it gets into that. The costing, and then we're going to talk about how this new Cybersecurity Act weaves its way into this whole discussion. But I want to bring Mike into this, and where does Pro Practice fit into this? Where are all the costs? Because you're up to your ears in this whole thing right now, Mike. It's have I dug a deep enough hole for us yet?
You know, sadly, Jeff, I think you've just started to scratch the surface of one of the challenges that we face in healthcare. And so, I mean, really with what CMS is driving, they're like every other person, whether or every other payer, whether it's an individual person, whether it's an insurance company or the federal government, everybody's looking to be more efficient. They want to get more value out of what they're paying for. And that's really what's driving a lot of the conversation around the cost of healthcare. When we look at the quality of the healthcare in the United States, we provide, really the top, from a quality standpoint, the top care in the world. When we look at the financing and how we pay for it and how efficient we are in using those resources, that's where we really drop off from the rest of the world. And really the G20 countries, we're at or near the bottom on any given year as far as the value of healthcare. And so that's really what's driving this cost. And I mean, really at ProPractice, we come in to help make this, make things more efficient. There are a lot of things just from a business standpoint that medical practices, hospitals, anybody in healthcare is dealing with. Everybody's trying to make things more efficient, get more value. And that's really where we come in, because we specialize in certain things that involve the non-clinical side of the care delivery. So hospitals, physicians, practices, et cetera, can focus on their expertise, which is the clinical care. And that, there are a number of other groups out there that do that. And that's one approach where, how we go about providing and paying for healthcare is going to become more efficient.
More efficient. And as we talk about outsource of services, ProPractice, you mentioned, you're helping the medical community from a business management perspective because they're not trained in it.
Correct.
And completely understandable. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a big part of it. We're also seeing where they're starting to outsource, as you say, some of the clinical services along that line.
Yep.
It makes perfect sense. Well, we're going to talk a little more about that in just a minute. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break and come back and dig into this subject a little bit deeper. You're listening to the Extra Business Week in Review. It is 9:16 on Friday morning. Well, welcome back, everybody. It's just about 9:20 on Friday morning. I'm Jeff Beaupre, and you're listening to the Business Week in Review. We're talking with Mike Weir of ProPractice about medical costs. We're going to get into some of the data security in the next segment, but let's stay on top of where we're at. A lot of the billing practices, or the, I guess business model is a better way to describe it right now, is coming to the forefront in what's going on in the cost of healthcare in the U.S. You had an interesting analogy during the break about relating it to my world on the computer side. He says, can we roll a grenade? I was like, yeah, why not?
You're
run
really
with that, Mike.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Throw you under the bus.
There's a great book from I believe he's a Harvard professor, Clayton Christensen, and he's the person who coined the term the innovator's dilemma. Wrote a follow-up book just shy of 10 years ago called The Innovator's Prescription, and it's the innovator's dilemma that's focused on the healthcare industry. And there is an entire section where he talks about the way we go about delivering care is really analogous to comparing the PC of now versus the mainframe computers that were around decades ago. And that one of the things that brought down the companies that were offering these mainframe computers is they didn't look for more efficient ways to offer it. They just found new ways to sell what they already had. And there's some analogy there in healthcare. I mean, Christensen really focuses in on the hospital model, but it's really across the board where there's so much opportunity to create efficiencies in healthcare that we're overlooking it, and we're just pouring more and more money into healthcare, and that's why as a nation right now we're approaching 20% of our GDP is going to go to healthcare alone.
Yeah, it's a ridiculously high number.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you model that out over many more years. I mean, that'll bankrupt the entire nation. So now is the time where we have to really address it, and I'm glad to see folks like CMS. I'm glad to see we're definitely involved in this discussion and really across the healthcare industry. Having these conversations finally.
That's good to hear. And I was surprised. I had no idea who CMS was until these articles started to come out. They are digging into this and trying to highlight what the issues are. As a governmental agency being Medicare and Medicaid, mm-hmm. their budget's, it's a budget buster, literally.
It is.
So they have opened the door a little bit for those organizations like yours that have known about it for a while. We can openly talk about it now. So I'm glad to see that. And it starts to go to the effort to outsource and the expertise that a lot of organizations have in terms of clinical services that can then focus on, you know, it boils down to just good business practice as you're running, you know, hundreds or thousands of, you know, test analysis yep. through things like that. You get the economies of scale that you don't have on a onesie-twosie perspective. And I see your, you know, the per-practice side looking at that. Is that an accurate portrayal?
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, really, when we think of healthcare, the fundamentals are the same as any other business out there. Now, the way we go about paying for it can be wonky. There are a lot of reasons for that. But the bottom line is the fundamentals are the same. And so, like any business, you're going to look for those efficiencies. You know, taking our story, and just one of the things I was most proud of our team about when the time where I was off hiking the Colorado Trail, I want to thank our team for stepping in, helping out, give you guys
for a month.
Yes, could not have done that without their support and knowing they were going to be able to handle things. And one of the things that I came back to, though, we just by outsourcing something as simple as sending out some of our mass mailings that we do to our physician members, to our clients, those types, we were able to shave roughly, I think it comes down to about 70% of our cost simply by, you know, putting that out with a group that's all they're doing.
That's
day
a big
in, day
number.
Oh, it's huge. And the same applies here, whether you're talking pathology services, whether you're talking imaging. You know, when you specialize in something, you're going to be able to just do that. I don't want to sound cliche, but like clockwork, and it's just going to keep moving.
Well, it's economies of scale.
It is economies of scale. You're right. And yeah, that's really where the folks that control the purse strings in healthcare, whether it be an employer, federal government, a payer, an individual, those are the things. They're the ones putting pressure on providers, hospitals, et cetera, to find those economies of scale and saying, hey, we're just not going to just pour more money into this system. You're going to have to find a way to be even better with the money you have.
It makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I mean, this goes back to use the computer analogy again, is, you know, so many companies struggled when they didn't reinvent where they were coming from in terms of technology.
Yep.
And then you had, you know, the people that did the smartphones and things like that, and we now hold more horsepower in those smartphones than what we ever dreamt about. And, you know, I used to work for one of those, and they went through some big struggles along the way. So it's now healthcare's turn.
Now it's healthcare's turn.
But it's tough because it's an emotional issue, too.
It is.
You know, if you're ill, you want the best care. You know, and at the time, money is not an issue. You're not out shopping online for the best deal for your knee replacement or something like that. But it also is fueling what we call, medical tourism, I think is the term. You know, I've been to Costa Rica, not on a medical side, but as a tourist, and their medical services are world class.
Oh, yeah.
And the cost, I could not believe how little they charged for it. In a private hospital, you know, a 5-day stay for a relative at the time, I think the bill was like $600 or $800.
Yep.
I was blown away.
I believe it. Well, and you know, we had a similar experience just having gone into town to resupply during the Colorado Trail trip. Random conversation on a shuttle bus in Breckenridge. And it was a couple that was on vacation from Arizona. They lived, I think, in the Tucson area. Had to have major surgery. They were telling us, not knowing what I did, we never told them, but telling us about how they drove 100 miles across, you know, just across into the Mexican border, and that's where they had their surgery. And they said it was cheaper than what they would have paid with the copay in their insurance coverage, and the experience was a lot better. They said it was like a resort, and those kinds of things are driving
that
medical tourism.
Well, stay with us. We After break at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk some more about this with Mike Weir of Pro Practice and the El Paso County Medical Society, and we're going to weave a little security into this with that new law. So it is just almost 9:28 on Friday morning. You're listening to the Extra Business Week in Review. We will be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday again. You're listening to the Extra Business Week in Review. I'm Jeff Beaupre. In the studio with me is Mike Weir of the El Paso County Medical Society and Pro Practice. We're going to talk a little more about the medical side, but I first want to reach out to Dan Morton. He's a great person at Fairlane Web Consulting who hosts all of our social media sites and things like that. Thanks, Dan, for all your effort. I also want to reach out. I understand my granddaughter is listening this morning. So, Andy, hello. She's up in Montana listening on the stream site. So, happy Friday to you as well. Let's get back to some of the discussion about medical. And you had an interesting, you're talking about real experience on your side with some of this and how to deal with some of the costs. Talk a little bit about that, Mike.
Yeah, well, it's somebody who's spent almost 20 years working in healthcare and working on one side of the equation, dealing with things as a patient, just some routine stuff. And so, but I'll start with an analogy real quick. And really one of the challenges we face in fixing medical costs and how we go about paying for healthcare as a region, as a nation, the way we go about providing for healthcare is similar to going to, let's say, go to a major fast food burger chain. You go up, you order a cheeseburger, fries, drink, you leave, but you don't pay for it when you get there. What happens is they've got a whole team of individuals that you never see that are in the far back room, and they're calculating, okay, based on what insurance coverage you have for this procedure, this is what we need to bill, this is what the patient's share should be, only it's split across every little piece of the healthcare delivery. So they're going to do that on the bun. They're going to do that on the meat patty. They're going to do that on the lettuce and on the tomato, the mayonnaise, on your drink, your fries, and everything's going to get a separate bill. And nobody in that equation that's involved in that knows, A, what the real cost of providing that hamburger is, and then B, what, really, they can't tell you when you purchase the hamburger what it's going to be. And so, using my own experience as a patient and just some routine stuff, went to one of my, went to a specialist for something and, thinking it's just going to be the standard copay, it's all routine stuff. And for 10 seconds of work, my share of what the company and the insurance company are saying was a quote procedure is $400. And so
for 10 minutes,
not even 10 minutes, it was 10 seconds of the visit. And they're saying, well, this one little thing that your physician did was a procedure. So instead of the $35 copay, it's your share of this is going to be $400. And then, I'm challenging that as a patient. I'm saying, hey, at least a heads up that there might have been a charge would have been nice, not a...
Mike's trying to keep the profanity out of the broadcast today.
Yeah, it's a large organization that anyone west of the Mississippi would have heard of, so I don't really want to out them. Yeah. My physician is excellent. The care I got was excellent. That's really where I would assume a lot of your listeners' frustration is going to be. It's on the economics of it.
Yes,
it's not on the care. It's on everything that surrounds the actual clinical care. And so it's not just people who, the system's become so complex and so cumbersome that it's not just people who don't access the healthcare system that struggle with it. It's folks like me who've spent what's now the bulk of my adult life working in. It's that cumbersome, so cumbersome that even folks like me, physicians themselves, have trouble. And that's really, creates a very bad setup, I think is probably the best way to put it, where we have... We have people that are paying more and more. The their happiness with the service they're getting is continues to go down. Nobody's happy with healthcare, whether it's the payers, whether it's the providers, whether it's the patients. Everybody's frustrated with healthcare. So as a nation, we're going to have to come together and really keep these kind of cost conversations going, just as we're having today.
Physicians, I hear them how they like to get paid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we all like to eat. That's a good
thing. Absolutely.
Oh, they need that. And it's good to see that you've got articles like the Wall Street Journal that did this week, and now CMS coming out and asking some hard questions.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be doing that. So it's good to see.
Yep.
So we're working on that to try to reduce the cost. But then as we weave in the data security into this as well, this past week, you heard about the Congress and the president signing this new cybersecurity law. I've read all one page of it. It basically is directing NIST, which is the National Institute of Standards and Technology, about cybersecurity and setting a framework to help businesses. I was like, well, most business I know is already working on it. We don't really need a law to help us along with that, and it doesn't give us anything. But, and this impacts all business, medical included, as we talk about it. It's starting to set a foundation of data security standards, as we've talked on this program about GDPR. It's coming to the U.S. This is, you know, your host's opinion right now. It appears to be the foundation where we're going to see more regulation around data security and protection, what implications are going to be. We're going to see more of that. That's going to add some cost into the medical world as well, as they try to, you know, manage that. You know, I hear Mike talking about at ProPractice from the business side, this is going to be one of those, you know, business segments that you're going to help the physicians with. How do they manage the security side of that? Because, you know, as we do cyber audits in my day job, it's amazing what we uncover at times with exposure of information and things like that. But that one, I think what's going to happen in this law, you're going to see a lot of people come in as third parties to help out with security. You're going to see in this law, you know, everybody and their brother is going to be helping the law and giving you consultancy, so to speak, to help out. I say be wary of that, because now I always joke about there's a web designer, a computer expert, and now a cybersecurity expert on every street corner. Just ask him. But you really want to have the quality individuals involved in that. You know, is that something that ProPractice is also looking at from the business perspective about security? Because this law is going to come into play with that as well. What's the thoughts on that, Mike? How does it impact the medical side?
Well, definitely a huge issue on the medical side. You know, it's I've seen a number of credible sources that have said that second after the defense industry, medical healthcare is the number one target for people wanting to access information that they don't have. So, you know, as far as ProPractice and what we've done, this is an area that we're starting to step into. A lot of it's been on education. It's not like our OSHA or HIPAA or HR compliance services where we're going in and we're actually doing the work. Right now, what we're doing is really focused on education, training, providing resources, saying here are the things you need to watch for. And just like we talked on an earlier broadcast, I think back in the spring, the target, no pun intended, of Target's breach wasn't Target. It was a heating and air
that's
contractor.
That's right. They look for the weak point.
Yes. And so when we start talking about helping small businesses, the small business is most physicians are not practicing in these large corporations. It's a one to 15 physician practice. Those are small and middle market size businesses right there. And so they have to very much pay attention to this. So we're really focused on educating them, providing resources. At some point we may start providing direct services, but that's more of a business decision based on, like every business, what are all the things that we have to do, and we're
likely
the
partnerships or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That fits pretty well.
Yeah.
But this law, like I say, it's a start. There are no hard recommendations in it. It basically tells the director of NIST, you know, do something about cyber. Well, thanks, but we're already working on that.
Yeah.
At least a few of us. And, but it is going to have an impact, especially on the medical side, because as you say, you know, that information is, it's worth a lot to the criminals. And how do we, well, and I don't want to give too much away, but what we're seeing in terms of breaches is not, I don't want your medical records, Mike. I want to change them with somebody else's. And you can imagine the impact that has on things.
Oh, yeah.
So now that I've got everybody's attention, we're going to take a short break. Stay with us. You're listening to the Extra Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. We're going to come back and talk a little more about that. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Business Week in Review. During the break, I think I scared Mike. he wants to go back to the woods. We talk about security and in medical. And just before the break, I mentioned, you know, breach of changing somebody's medical records with somebody else's. That includes imaging. Let's say you have a chest x-ray and you swap it with somebody else. That can have some profound impact on things. And Mike's eyes got rather big. He says, you know, I hadn't thought about it in those terms rather than just stealing your information. You know, they see it as the bad guys can have a war and never set foot on your continent. But they can have impact on people's lives. That's a big deal. And be it prescriptions, they change a dose or anything like that. So security in medical is a growing thing. You know, this new law is going to have some impact on it. It's going to have an impact on general business, but primarily just reminding us of the issues that we already know about. I mentioned to Mike, I said, I get the question all the time. I get into the storytelling modes about security, and they look at me and they go, Jeff, how is it that you sleep at night? I say, I sleep very well because I've scared everybody else to the issues that are at hand, and now they're working on it. So I'm at peace with that. So I'm scaring Mike as well this morning.
You get back to the mountains.
Yeah, he's going back to the mountains. So as we wrap up, the takeaways for today really haven't changed. It's pay attention to what's going on. Don't click on things that you shouldn't be clicking on. I don't even talk about specifics, but rarely now, because it happens every day. You still need to be vigilant about everything, and that includes physicians' practices, especially the physicians' practices, because they're getting documents all day long with orders, analysis orders, and things like that, and corrupted PDFs, Adobe formats, and everything else that's coming into play. And now with the outsourcing, we go wrap this full circle as we outsource services. That's going to be big because that information is going to be transmitted electronically. So as you mentioned, all of the services, Mike, and what ProPractice is doing, it's all electronic. And how do you manage that? Any other takeaways to offer everybody today? I think, have we scared everybody enough or talked about it?
Well, you've certainly scared me enough, Jeff. Thank you. you may sleep at night. I'm not.
That's my job.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, I say that jokingly. But, you know, really, you know, on the cyber issue, it really just comes down to good hygiene, whether you're, you know, cyber hygiene. I think that's a term you taught me way back when,
yep,
even before.
Cyber hygiene, 101.
You know, it's like anything, just, you know, take some basic steps to make sure you're protected. If you see something that doesn't look right, say you get a strange email that could be from your physician, call and verify it, because, well, that's not really something that's standard, and you want to make sure that, well, you're not doing anything that could put yourself in harm.
That's a very good point. Yeah. That I hadn't thought about is if you get an email or a text or something like that, say, I'm adjusting your dose, or I'm changing the drug you're
correct
on, verify it. That's
yes
a very key point.
Yes. And, you know, it's like you would with anything else. If you got a call from your bank that said, you know, we're moving X number of dollars, you're going to call the bank and find out why.
In a second.
Yes. As medical practices start using text and email more and more, I wouldn't be surprised if we start running into issues where, hey, I'm changing your toast and you think it's an email from your physician. It's actually a scam.
Mm-hmm.
And while I personally haven't seen that exact issue, the person who lays awake at night, I know you sleep, but laying awake at night thinking about these things, those are, you know, some of the things where my concern goes to.
That's a very good point.
Yep.
And we'll wrap it up with that. Mike, it's always great to have you in the studio and discussing this.
Well, thanks, Jeff.
It's good stuff, as I say. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. You've been listening to the Business Week in Review on KRDO News Radio. Tom Martino is up next. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk with you next week.